And this is the show. Hi, everybody. I'm Rick Sanchez. Time for the Week in Review.
If you want to really see something that's said, take a look at what happened.
Ladies and gentlemen, President Putin.
President Putin.
You can beat President Putin.
Yeah.
President Zelensky.
Yeah. Yeah, I better correct myself. The two incidents that are still reverberating and still shaping the future of American politics. And there's so much that's happened since. I'm Rick Sanchez. This is Direct Impact's Week in Review. Let us do this. I'm telling you, I've been doing this for a long time. I'm not sure I've ever seen a week like this. I mean, it is absolutely remarkable how in this last week, it's like everything has changed and it continues to change. And that's what we're going to talk about. Where's this going? We're going to be joined by our host of the Critical Hour on Radio Sputnik, Garland Nixon. Let us see what Mr. Garland Nixon looks like. There he is, by the way, as well as political analyst and host of the Convo Couch on YouTube, Craig Pasta Jardula. Gentlemen, thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate, as we like to say at the Republican Convention. All right. Still nothing short of a miracle that Donald Trump is not dead or in horribly critical condition somewhere in some hospital. I mean, literally, if the guy does not turn his head to look at, you know, some graphics that he was talking about at the time, at the exact moment that this shot is fired, I mean, he would have been hit in the head. Instead, he turned, so it hit his ear. Look, don't take my word for it. I mean, take a look at this.
Take a look what happened.
Well, isn't that amazing? I mean, literally, if you look at it, guys, I'm sure you've already done this and thought about it, but, I mean, the bullet's coming like this. When he turns his head, he puts himself in such a situation so that it hits his ear instead. I don't know. Where were you when this happened? And what are you thinking about at this point, Pasta?
You know, it's kind of funny because I was in West Palm Beach at a Viet MAGA event. Literally, Vietnamese Americans that were honoring Donald Trump. I was walking in to their event, and on the table they had some gifts, and it was a Donald Trump gold coin and the Donald Trump bucks. And all of a sudden I heard, you know, a lot of noise in the background and people were sounded very worried. And then all of a sudden we heard that the president had been shot. I mean, it was so ironic for me. I was at a Viet MAGA event when it happened.
The idea that he was missed by just almost nothing. And now everything that we're hearing about the fact that this guy was only 130 yards away in a building that for some reason, Secret Service just decided not to evacuate. It's kind of weird, right? I mean, Garland, what do you think?
Yeah, it's weird. And as many people know, my background in law enforcement, I literally worked with Secret Service in coming up with plans for Dick Cheney's summer home, right? We had to secure his summer home. So And my recollection is at the time, you know, they were very thorough. They were very professional. In fact, what we were told at that time is, you know, you better watch where you go. You better stay where we tell you. Don't go in the wrong area because these guys have orders to shoot. If you're in the wrong area and they don't know who you are, they're going to shoot first and ask questions later. I was told this by Secret Service. So it's kind of strange now that they got this guy in their sights, that there's a crowd of people standing around pointing at, hey, there's a guy on a roof and he's got a gun. And Secret Service is just kind of, I don't know, maybe they were busy. Maybe they had a cup of coffee they had to finish before they did their job.
You know what I think? First of all, we live in the most dangerous country in the world, possibly in the history of the world. You're 27 times more likely to be shot if you live in the United States than any other developed country. Every day, 337 people are shot or killed in the United States. There are, for every 100 people, there are 121 weapons in the United States. Let's just face it, you don't have to be Donald Trump to get shot in this country. It wouldn't put it past, as far as I see it, law enforcement to just start getting lazy after you're having all these rallies after rally after rally. I know human nature is just to start taking your job for granted. I wouldn't be surprised if they may have just done that. My take. What do you think, Pasta?
I don't know, Rick. I can't buy that. I mean, it's. I'm sorry. This is the Secret Service, right? They have one job: protect that president at all costs, make sure that he's not killed. And it's just mind-boggling to me. I mean, there were so many different signs, right? We have pictures coming out of the guy just kind of wandering around, looking at buildings, like, which building should I choose to shoot?
They pointed him out. The people in the audience said, "There's a guy on the roof and he's got a gun." And I guess they didn't react in time. You're right.
It just seems awfully suspicious, Rick. Really. And the thing about it is, I don't think we'll ever get to the truth. I think the conspiracy theorists, and I have a little bit of that in my mindset, they're gonna take whatever they think and wander off, and their mind's gonna choose whatever they choose to do. But at the end of the day, no matter what, I look at the way it makes Donald Trump look. It makes him look, like I said, if he was once Jesus on earth, he is now God in heaven. Everybody is flocking to him.
Yeah, no, listen, let's talk about that. The optics for Donald Trump right now are nothing short of phenomenal. I mean, this guy withstood an attack, and then with blood on his face, in a Rocky-like stance and moment, fist in the air, he raises it and yells, "Fight, fight, fight," as his followers chant, "USA, USA." I mean, come on. And there's nobody in Hollywood that could have written something this good for that situation. And now let's compare it, though, to something else. Compare it to his opponent. President Biden said that the NATO summit would be his crowning moment. Pelosi said, let's let him do this because this is going to be his comeback. He would show the world that he's a strong and capable leader. And that was going to be the message that would supposedly come out of this summit. Instead, this is what came out of that summit.
I wouldn't have picked Vice President Trump to be vice president, but I think she was not qualified to be president. And now I want to hand it over to the president of Ukraine, who has as much courage as he has determination. Ladies and gentlemen, President Putin.
President Putin.
You're going to beat President Putin. President Zelensky.
Garland, I give you the mic.
And even then, he called him President Zelensky. He left out the Z, you know. But look, the truth about it is this. When you have cognitive decline, it doesn't improve. It's not of like course. You can wait a couple weeks later, you know. It's kind of like spoiled milk. You can't put it in and say, let's put it back in the refrigerator and come back in a couple days and maybe it'll be better. The milk is spoiled. It's only going to get worse. And that's the story on Joe Biden's brain. Everybody knows the story. The big story, I think, to me with Biden is, in 2019, Julian Castro, or one of the Castro brothers from Texas.
Yeah, it was Julian.
Addressed it and said, hey, you know, there's something wrong with this guy. And they attacked him. This is not new. The media, the Democratic Party has been hiding this. And now they are in an unthinkable situation. And they put themselves in this situation because they attacked those of us who said legitimately, hey, man, this guy has a problem. And we were Trump supporting Russian bots or whatever we were. And now they've got to deal with reality.
Wait, they still are, Garland. Here, I got something for you. NBC News presenter Lester Holt sits down a couple days ago with Biden, asks him questions that were obviously written and sent to him by the staff of the president at the White House. The questions are so obviously staged, it makes Lester Holt look so stupid. I know Lester. We came up together. We were hired on the same day by NBC. I came from Miami. He came from Chicago. I mean, this is shameful that he does this. But watch, to your point, Garland, watch what Lester Holt asks in this interview.
If you were to continue to run and be officially nominated, what happens if you have another episode like we saw during the debate?
What happens if another?
Yeah, what happens if you have another performance on that par, on that level?
You see what I mean, Pasta? He's making it sound like it was a one-time incident. Since then, he's called Zelensky Putin. He called his vice president, Vice President Trump. I mean, that's the question he should be asking him, but he's not. And instead, he's playing into this narrative that he had a bad night. Oh, I had a bad night. I mean, just be honest with the American people, right?
Absolutely. And that information you just dropped about Lester Holt, I didn't know that. That is really powerful, and it really shows you what the mainstream media's job is nowadays. It's just pure propaganda. They're the stenographers of the ruling class. But at the end of the day, Rick and Garland, I think this is the eyes, all the attention paid to Joe Biden is a little bit of a distraction of the bigger problem. And the bigger problem is that the Democratic Party is a dead party. Nobody wants to come out and take the mantle here from Joe Biden and get wiped out by Donald Trump. I mean, these guys are stuck in 2016. They have no original ideas anymore. They're not connected to the working class, and they're just a dying party right now. And I think that's what they're trying to hide with this whole situation. And if they put anybody out there to take the reins from from Joe Biden, they're going to wait as long as they can to shield their candidate from any criticisms.
You don't think, I don't know. See, you disagreed with me a little while ago. I think I'm going to take you on this one. I think Donald Trump is still vulnerable. And I think you could make the argument that my 4-year-old granddaughter could beat Joe Biden at this point. So putting on another person, regardless, obviously a Michelle Obama, George Clooney candidacy or something of that nature, I think it could be pretty powerful. I think it could push back a little bit on Donald Trump. What do you think, Garland?
Well, it all depends on how you look at politics. If you look at politics through the lens of the person who's out there only, well, maybe you could find yourself a supermodel and stick them out there. Maybe that would work. The reality is this. When it comes down to it, there's a reason that Joe Biden and the Democrats weren't doing well before the assassination attempt and before the debate. There were those of us who had predicted before that they would lose, because people vote on their day-to-day lives. And let's face it, inflation has been bad. The Biden administration has been a catastrophe. In the Black community, the thing that I've heard the most, why there are a lot of Black people that probably are going to stay home, some are going to vote for Trump, is day-to-day, a lot of working class people. Hey, man. It costs too much money to buy stuff. When I go to the market, I got a wife and 3 kids. A friend of mine has a business, and he talks about how much more it costs now for gas for his lawnmowers and trucks and, things like that. Those things are what people vote on. Those things are not looking good for the Democrats.
My point is this. Biden is so bad right now. I think this is the point I was trying to make to Craig. Biden looks so bad right now that he almost has to be replaced. And anybody that replaces him will do better than he's doing. Will it be enough to beat Trump? I don't know. I'm not willing to say. I've been in this business long enough to see a lot of things that I thought wouldn't happen suddenly happen. So we'll wait and see. Let's take a break. When we come back, let's talk a little bit about J.D. Vance and talk about what that does to this equation with the new ticket of Trump and Vance. And maybe a little bit about his wife, which I think is fascinating. If you guys heard her talk yesterday, I was impressed. We'll be right back. And we're back with Craig Pasta Jardula, unless you want to gringoize his name and call him Jardula. And there he is with that smiling face. Speaking of smiling face, Garland Nixon's joining us as well. Gentlemen, it's always a delight to have this conversation with you. I'm wondering what you're thinking of J.D. Vance. He's the running mate now for Donald Trump officially. A lot of people thought that might happen. It did. Vance received a very warm reception at the Republican National Convention. Why? Well, because right now, anything that Trump touches, literally, as I think it was you, Craig, who mentioned this earlier, and I think you're absolutely right, anything that Trump touches right now is viewed very positively. Take a listen.
Senator J.D. Vance.
Let the rest of the world help us for change, and let's rebuild a very first wall. Our highways and bridges are falling apart.
And there you go. There he is. The fact that Vance used to hate Trump, once saying that he would rather vote for his dog before he votes for Trump or Hillary Clinton. People are saying, all right, look, people change their minds. I don't think it's having that big of an effect. In fact, I don't think anything right now at the RNC is having an effect. I don't see a lot of disunity. The possible exception is that confrontation between Gates and McCarthy. But other than that, it looks like a love fest. No? I mean, am I wrong? What do you think there, Pasta?
I think you're right. I mean, the other day, the great Van Jones said, a bullet couldn't stop Trump, but a virus stopped Biden. And he said that the Democrats are falling apart, but the Republicans are coming together. And they are. I mean, it's the way they have this guy, J.D. Vance, painted, like the working man. Remember, he was one of the only senators to show up in Ohio at the actual East Palestine wreck in the lakes and the waters and show people what's going on. His stances on Ukraine have changed. His stances on Donald Trump have changed.
Yep.
But to me, Rick, this is very, very scary. And I know the libertarians out there are just running all over the place screaming. I mean, you got to look down the rabbit hole to see who J.D. Vance is. This guy has ties to Peter Thiel and Palantir. We're talking Bilderberg right now. So when you look at J.D. Vance on the surface, he might look like the working man out there. A lot of people are comparing him to Tim the Tool Man Taylor, that guy, the guy who worked with him, right? Because you see the memes out there, Rick, and stuff. But when you look deeply at who J.D. Vance is, this is a scary, scary nomination.
Corporatist.
Yeah.
A guy all money, 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 and doesn't give a crap about the working man. And, he's going to have to find a way to somehow overcome that. You know, there is news on the Biden front as well, and I'm not sure we mentioned this, but we probably should. Adam Schiff came out yesterday, Garland. Pelosi came out yesterday. They said, look, you gotta get out of this thing. You got to get out of this thing. The polls are absolutely horrible. 14 states where he's now losing, where he won before. So, and then all of a sudden, Biden has COVID. Like, I don't know. I'm thinking the shoe's about to drop. You say what, Garland?
Oh, absolutely. You know, let's remember a few days ago, Joe Biden mentioned that in the event that the doctor came up with some kind of an issue that a medical issue that he needed to drop out, that he'd consider dropping out. And then bingo, he gets COVID. Boy, that's the virus just chased him down all of a sudden and said, OK, I'll give you a hand here, buddy. I'll give you a lifeline. But in reality, I think what's going on now is they know that at this point, unless something changes, any hope at getting the White House is gone. But they understand that if they have a really unpopular candidate running, that people will stay home. That people, if you've got a bunch of people that are like, well, I know we have no chance, they'll stay home. And then the down ballot ticket will be annihilated if they have Joe Biden.
Yeah, and I think that's the point I was trying to make to you, Craig. There's two kinds of people in the United States right now. There's people who hate ex-President Trump, soon to be President Trump, the way it looks. But there's people who hate the guy, and there's people who like the guy. And that's America right now. Biden will not get the people that love Trump to suddenly vote for him. The only way to change that equation is to get somebody other than Biden to at least compete in that arena. And I think that's what's happening right now. By the way, I mentioned to you a little while ago the situation at the Republican convention. And I did think this was interesting. Let me just show it to you and let me get your reaction, because there still is an old guard in the Republican Party. You know, the Bushes, the Cheneys, the corporatists, the McCains, the Warhawks. And then there's the new guys who are more MAGA. I think Gates is more of a MAGA guy. Here he is confronting Kevin McCarthy. Let's watch it.
Speaking. What night are you speaking? Are you speaking tonight? Or one person? No. Hey, you're not. If you took that stage, you would get booed off. You would get booed off the stage.
Shut up, Gates.
Hey, dude, I don't even know who you are. It doesn't matter.
You would get booed off the stage. You shut up. And by the way, who are you? Wow, interesting moment. Played great. I know the whole Republican convention's all kumbaya right now, but underneath all of that, does that still exist, you think? I think you referenced it just a minute ago, Craig, that there's still some of those people in the Republican Party who are not like Trump and maybe a little more like J.D. Vance. Concern you?
Dude, I don't even know who you are, Rick. But let me tell you this much, right?
Neither do I sometimes. Listen,
I don't know about you, and I think Garland might have the same feelings that I have, that, like, this is what we wanted to see in the Democratic Party. This is what we thought we were going to get in 2016. We were ushering in the fraud squad, they were the squad at the time, AOC. They're going to fight for our values. I mean, our our perception of what Bernie Sanders would do back then is so different than what he's actually doing today. He's still capitulating and saying that Biden was one of the best president in modern times. I mean, so for me, I look at this and I start to cry. This is something encouraging if you're a populist right, an everyday worker. You know what I'm saying? You seeing the old guard getting pushed out by the new guard, because McCarthy is much like, you know, an establishment Republican, like a Mitch McConnell and whatnot, you know, like a Lindsey Graham. He's all about big business, big money. Nothing really for the workers ever got brought to the floor. So when you see this here, you know, it is a fight. It is a little tussle, but it's encouraging, I think, to a lot of people. And as a Democrat, I just feel so mad because this is what I wanted. I wanted AOC yelling at Mama Bear and going, "You're done. You're never going to see the gavel ever again. We're here to replace you." But we didn't see that. Instead, we saw the Democrats capitulate to their masters.
Capitulation. That's a good word. And I think do you agree, Garland? I think he's absolutely right. I'm not giving away the goat here, but I think he's right. I think what we're seeing in the Republican Party is what a lot of people wished would have happened in the Democratic Party.
It's healthy politics. It's healthy to have dissent. It's healthy that in a party that there are people that say, "I don't agree with the leadership. I strongly look." You look at some parliamentary systems. We've all seen it. The people are throwing fists. They're rolling around in the aisle. You literally see these parliaments in some countries where people are fighting. And some people look at that as, "Oh, that's terrible." I think it's healthy. I think it shows that there are people who actually believe in something. And they believe in it enough to get angry, to get emotional. Look at the Democratic Party. There's a bunch of people all standing there top to bottom. Yeah, and all they have to say is like, "Putin something or other, blah, 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 January 6th.
War.
That's it. Yeah. They don't have anything else to say.
China, 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 Iran, 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 war, 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 and institutional crap. I agree. By the way, before we go, I got to show you something that's kind of sad. No, it is sad. It's a video that came out of the Republican convention. So, as we all know, Rudy Giuliani was once one of the sharpest and most courageous U.S. politicians, considered so by millions of Americans. Now, talk about a fall from grace. And fall he did this week as he, this is iconic almost. This is Rudy Giuliani trying to walk into the GOP convention. I've said this about Biden, and I don't take any joy in reporting that Biden is an old man who can't put a sentence together. And I'll say the same thing about Rudy Giuliani. I feel bad watching that. I don't want to go out that way. I hope I never go out that way. And I hope somebody in my family grabs me and said, "Dad, let's just stay home and play dominoes or something." That's sad. What do you guys think? Craig, you can start.
Okay, I was going to say, we're all going to be there one day, right? We're all going to get old.
Yeah.
We're all going to, you know, there's going to be a moment where we fall down. We don't know what happened. Maybe Giuliani laughed it off and said whatever. But the difference is they're not trying to make him the president, right? They're letting him still come to the dinner.
Good point.
They're just not letting him pick what the guests are going to eat or drink. He's there, you know, as an honorary member to see what's going on. They're still including him. They're honoring him for the work they did. We're all going
to
get there.
I'm not alluding to the point that this is a powerful guy in the Republican Party. I'm just saying I love this guy. When he was the mayor of New York and when he was the DA and when he took down all those mafiosos, I thought this is one of the greatest politicians in the history of our country. And to watch him now, it just makes me sad. That's all I'm saying. You know what I mean, Garland?
And I got to add this. I did, I'm on the left, not the biggest fan of Rudy Giuliani, but here's the point about I thought he was treated unfairly because when he tried to work with Donald Trump to find out, you know, the lawfare that they were doing against Trump out of Ukraine, and they went after Giuliani and they used lawfare against him. They charged him with all kind of China crimes. Everybody knows they dug into his past. They took Rudy Giuliani out because he tried to help defend Donald Trump in what I believe was a legitimate defense against lawfare. Yeah, which we got to add. You forgot this. They dismissed the trial. They dismissed the charges against Trump.
Right.
For the document case, which, I mean, geez, you know, it's like somebody smiling down on Trump. Everything he touches turns
Rick,
to gold.
That's what I think the big story is, though, Rick. Really, really quickly, what Garland's talking about. It's the difference of treatment from the Democrats against the Republicans and the Republicans against the Democrats. Yeah. You don't see the Republicans out there saying they wish that Joe Biden will die of COVID. But you see a lot of Democrats with this toxic behavior.
Let me ask you a final question. I think it's down to 5 seconds. So yes or no, do you think Biden will, before we have this show again a week from now, will have stepped down? Craig, first to you, yay or nay?
Not yet. They're waiting to the convention.
Interesting. And you, Garland?
Yes. I'm going to go with yes. I think he's gone before the end of the weekend.
Before the end of the wow. Okay, that's what
before
the COVID.
Monday,
that's what the COVID thing tells us. Thanks, guys. What a great conversation. I felt like we were somewhere at a bar having an adult beverage. This is fantastic. Thank you for your intelligence, your wisdom, and for your personalities. I appreciate it. That's our show. Remember always to look outside your own boxes, as we like to say around here. Look, truths don't live in boxes. Truth is everywhere. Look for it. I'm Rick Sanchez. We do. We'll see you next time.